Living shorelines, wetland restoration, oyster reefs. Green infrastructure is an effective and proven method of increasing coastal resilience, stabilizing the shoreline, and cleaning the waters of eastern North Carolina. But can the approach be used farther upstream and brackish water, in more urban settings to restore polluted waterways? The city of Jacksonville and local scientists are trying to answer that question.
It's a very different kind of setting. There are different stressors. There's different physical structure there. But as best we can tell so far, they seem to be doing quite well in these urban areas, and that's really promising.
Today, the New River is teeming with life, but this wasn't always the case. For more than four decades, the city of Jacksonville discharged treated wastewater effluent into Wilson Bay, and in 1995, a dike collapsed at an Onslow County hog farm, sending 25 million gallons of waste surging into the New River. Jacksonville stormwater manager Pat Donovan Potts.
It made national news and the helicopters were all flying over, and as it passed down the New River, it made very little impact because our river was in such bad shape. It was listed as one of the top worst on the eastern seaboard.
She says levels of ammonia, phosphate, and nitrates were off the charts. The fecal coliform counts were 35,000 to 70,000 per day.
You're only allowed 200 organisms per 100 mLs of water for recreational waters, and like I said, we have 35,000 to 70,000.
That's when they knew something had to be done. The city eventually ceased discharging wastewater into the New River in 1998 with the completion of a land application wastewater treatment plant. The following year, a community-based water quality improvement and habitat restoration effort began. Donovan Potts says they wanted to use natural habitat restoration practices like oyster sills and wetlands to rehabilitate the contaminated waterway.
To date, literally to date, we've put in 8.1 million oysters. And the reason why we used oysters is basically because one adult oyster, which is about the size of your hand, can filter up to 10 gallons of water every 24 hours. So if you say 10 gallons times 8.1 million, it's a lot of water turning over.
Two oyster sills run parallel to the bulkhead in front of Wilson Bay Estate Park. Six more surround Wilson Island. The city also installed three aeration units in the bay to deliver oxygen to an anaerobic bottom.
Before, we had 0 milligrams per liter of dissolved oxygen on the bottom, and now we have the required 5 milligrams per liter.
They also constructed 9 square miles of wetland and marsh habitats, which provide nutrient processing and fish nurseries. The restoration measures started to work right away, and in 2001, Donovan Potts says they saw the bottom of Wilson Bay for the first time and found their first bottom-dwelling creatures.
I had never seen a crab pot. I had never seen a gillnet or fishermen in this part of the river. And then after 2001, when we started putting out our reports, I mean, some days there's so many trout fishermen in the bay area or in the middle of I actually have to dodge boats.
Now that Wilson Bay supports a variety of aquatic life, it would seem that over the span of 17 years, the waterway has fully recovered. But a team of local researchers with the University of North Carolina's Institute of Marine Sciences and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration want quantifiable evidence of exactly how well the water quality and habitat restoration projects are working. Dr. Mike Peeler is a professor at IMS in Morehead City. He's also the head of estuarine ecology and human health at the Coastal Studies Institute.
What we were interested in was trying to make some fairly advanced measurements of nitrogen removal. Nutrients are really important in estuaries, and when you have too much nutrients, that's a problem. Salt marshes and oyster reefs, two of the things that the city of Jacksonville have been restoring, both of those habitats are known to be areas with elevated amounts of nitrogen removal.
There are two sets of data being gathered. One component of the project involves taking sediment cores and water samples from wetlands in Wilson Bay to determine if they're removing nitrogen from the water. Dr. Peeler is involved with collecting the mud samples and bringing them back to the lab.
We've set up incubations that allow us to understand the interaction between the sediment and the water, and that interface is a really important area for nutrient cycling. And so we run our incubations, and then at some point in the near future, our data will be in, and we'll have a sense of how effectively those systems, how they are cycling nutrients and whether or not they're effectively removing nutrients.
Sediment and water samples from the restored wetland will be compared to samples collected from 20 acres of natural wetlands on the other side of Wilson Bay and areas without marshes. They'll also compare current nutrient levels to those collected back in 1999. The second component of the project examines the impact sea level rise has on wetlands and Wilson Bay. Marshes grow as water levels change, but if sea levels rise too quickly,
they may or may not be able to keep up, and of course we also see a lot of erosion.
Research ecologist at NOAA's National Ocean Science Lab in Beaufort, Carolyn Curran, says work at the Wilson Bay site will allow them to track how salt marshes grow. The team of scientists recently installed 6 stainless steel rods 30 to 40 feet into the marsh and encased them in concrete.
They provide a permanent point of reference from which measures can be made to both to measure changes in both the vertical and horizontal edge of the marsh. They require really zero maintenance, and you just have a special instrument, which is you can bring out and set on top of that benchmark, which can measure very fine-scale changes in marsh surface elevation change on the orders of millimeters.
While this type of study has been conducted at the coast, there isn't much data for wetlands and brackish regions of the estuary, especially a restored area in an urban setting. Curran says it will take 4 to 5 years of data collection to get any real results. The team of researchers are planning another trip to the site in the fall to collect more sediment core samples. NOAA will routinely monitor the sediment elevation table. In the spring, the data and the results of the project will be presented at the State of the River Address, held by the New River Roundtable. The annual meeting brings together environmental groups, educators, scientists, state, local, and county government, and universities to discuss the health of the river. Jacksonville Stormwater Manager Pat Donovan Potts.
One of the things about the New River is it starts and ends in the same county. So we are cursed in that we can't point our fingers upriver and go, it's their fault. But we are so blessed in saying we can't point upriver and say, it's their fault. It's our fault, and we are the ones that need to take ownership of it and be good stewards and continue to bring her back to life.
To make sure the New River remains healthy, the researchers involved with this project want to inspire the next generation to maintain their conservation efforts. They're collaborating with the nonprofit Sturgeon City to provide educational materials for K-12 students. The center will include demonstrations on the restoration of Wilson Bay and how the city continues to support other areas in need. I'm Jared Brumbaugh.